Stories of Romance. I'm Mardell, reading The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery. Chapter 24. Valency herself made Sissy ready for burial. No hands but hers should touch that pitiful, wasted little body. The old house was spotless on the day of burial. Barney Snaith was not there. He had done all he could to help Valency before it. He had shrouded the pale Cecilia in white roses from the garden, and then had gone back to his island. But everybody else was there, all Deerwood and up back came. They forgave Sissy splendidly at the last. Mr. Bradley gave a very beautiful funeral address. Valency had wanted her old Free Methodist man, but Roaring Abel was obdurate. He was a Presbyterian, and no one but a Presbyterian minister should bury his daughter. Mr. Bradley was very tactful. He avoided all dubious points, and it was plain to be seen he hoped for the best. Six reputable citizens of Deerwood bore Cecilia Gray to her grave in decorous Deerwood Cemetery. Among them was Uncle Wellington. The Sterlings all came to the funeral, men and women. They had had a family conclave over it. Surely now that Sissy Gay was dead, Valency would come home. She simply could not stay there with Roaring Abel. And that being the case, the wisest course, decreed Uncle James, was to attend the funeral, legitimize the whole thing, so to speak. Show Deerwood that Valency had really done a most creditable deed in going to nurse poor Cecilia Gay, and that her family had backed her up in it. Death, the miracle worker, suddenly made the thing quite respectable. If Valency would return to home and decency, while public opinion was under its influence, all might yet be well. Society was suddenly forgetting all Cecilia's wicked doings and remembering what a pretty, modest little thing she had been. Ah, and motherless, you know, motherless. It was the psychological moment, said Uncle James. So the Sterlings went to the funeral. Even Cousin Gladys Neritis allowed her to come. Cousin Stickles was there, her bonnet dripping all over her face, crying as woefully as if Sissy had been her nearest and dearest. Funerals always brought Cousin Stickles' own sad bereavement back. And Uncle Wellington was a pallbearer. Valency, pale, subdued-looking, her slanted eyes smudged with purple, in her snuff-brown dress, moving quietly about, finding seats for people, consulting in undertones with minister and undertaker, marshalling the mourners into the parlor, was so decorous and proper and Sterlingish that her family took heart of grace. This was not, could not be the girl who had sat all night in the woods with Barney Snaith, who had gone tearing bareheaded through Deerwood and Port Lawrence. This was the Valency they knew. Really surprisingly capable and efficient. Perhaps she had always been kept down a bit too much. Amelia was rather strict. Hadn't had a chance to show what was in her, so thought the Sterlings. And Edward Beck from the Port Road, a widower with a large family, who was beginning to take notice, took notice of Valency and thought she might make a mighty fine second wife. No beauty, but a 50-year-old widower, Mr. Beck told himself very reasonably. Couldn't expect everything. Altogether, it seemed that Valency's matrimonial chances were never so bright as they were at Cecilia Gay's funeral. What the Sterlings and Edward Beck would have thought if they had known the back of Valency's mind must be left to the imagination. Valency was hating the funeral, hating the people who came to stare with curiosity at Cecilia's marble-white face, hating the smugness, hating the dragging, melancholy singing, hating Mr. Bradley's cautious platitudes. If she could have had her absurd way, there would have been no funeral at all, She would have covered Sissy over with flowers, shut her away from prying eyes, and buried her beside her nameless little baby in the grassy burying ground under the pines of the up-back church, with a bit of kindly prayer from the old Free Methodist minister. She remembered Sissy saying once, "I wish I could be buried deep in the heart of the woods, where nobody would ever come to say, 'Sissy Gay is buried here,' and tell over my miserable story. But this..." However, it would soon be over. Valency knew if the Sterlings and Edward Beck didn't, exactly what she intended to do then. She had lain awake all the preceding night, thinking about it, and finally deciding on it. When the funeral procession had left the house, Mrs. Frederick sought out Valency in the kitchen. "My child," she said tremulously, "you'll come home now." "Home," said Valency absently. She was getting on an apron and calculating how much tea she must put to steep for supper. There would be several guests from out back, distant relatives of the Gays who had not remembered them for years. And she was so tired. She wished she could borrow a pair of legs from the cat. "Yes, home," said Mrs. Frederick with a touch of asperity. "I suppose you won't dream of staying here now, alone with Roaring Abel?" "Oh, no, I'm not going to stay here," said Valency. "Of course, I'll have to stay for a day or two to put the house in order generally, but that will be all. Excuse me, Mother, won't you? I've a frightful lot to do, and those up-back people will be here to supper." Mrs. Frederick retreated in considerable relief, and the Sterlings went home with lighter hearts.
"We will just treat her as if nothing had happened when she comes back," decreed Uncle Benjamin. "That will be the best plan, just as if nothing had happened."
Please join me next time for another romantic chapter of The Blue Castle by L.M. Montgomery, here on Love's Tender Flame. Until then, love deeply and live beautifully.